Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Chodesh Adar Bet class on Simcha. Simcha's Adar, not directly related to the Megillah, tied into the Megillah, but more focusing on the Midah of this month. What is the Midah of the month? How do we understand Simcha? How do we enhance Simcha in our own lives? S'chus for Refuah Shleima for Liba Bas Gittel B'soch Sha'ar Chole Yisrael. Adar 1, Adar 2, double Simcha through the gift of time. Nothing's by accident. Ironically or not coincidentally, I wrote yesterday, Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Vayikra, Parshas Zachar. There was a bombing, I hope that everybody saw in Turkey. They're not sure if the Israelis were specifically targeted or not, but it was a group of Israelis, and therefore I added this in Mamish this morning to the top. In memory of, and we're learning about Simcha today, her name was Simcha Darami, 60 years old, of Dimona, Israel, a mother of four. In memory of Yonatan Sucher, Hashem Yikom Dama, 40 years old, and the father of two from Tel Aviv. And in memory of Avram Goldman, Hashem Yikom Dama, 69 years old, who was a tour guide who worked in Yerushalayim. They were killed yesterday in the bombing in Turkey, not coincidentally. Shabbos, Parshas, Zachar, may Hashem avenge their blood. May we only merit Simcha, which was the topic of today's shiur. So the Pasuk says in Tehillim, which struck me when I was davening this morning, we say, before Ashrei Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha, says David HaMelech, says, you shall serve Hashem with Simcha, with gladness, bowl of fun of Bir Nana, come before Him in song. And Rav Shem Shemfal Hirsch says, it is a misconception that Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha, that Avodah is only speaking about the Beis HaMikdash, or is only speaking about the Karbanos, or is only speaking about the Mishkan. When we tend to talk about Torah, Avodah, and Gemilus Chasadim, Avodah is the third pillar, right? That Pirkei Avos delineate in Pirkei. We say Avodah was Karbanos. Now there's no more Karbanos, so now it's Tefillah. So Shem Shafal Hirsch says his commentary on Tilm, this is a myth. When we say Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha, says Rav Hirsch on Tilm, it's Tehillim Kapitel Kof Pasuk Beis, chapter 100, verse 2. It doesn't only mean during the time of your Karbanos you should be happy. During the time of Tefillah there should be an inin of Simcha. He says that Avodah Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha should permeate what? Your life. I was going to say every aspect of your life, every moment of your existence, which begs us to ask the question, what about the times we don't feel besimcha or we are not besimcha? And this is funny, the shiur was prepared obviously before yesterday, last night, but certain things were added in at the very last moment. One of them is the aliyah for the neshamos, but another is a friend shared with me, Ezra Schwartz's sister ran in the Jerusalem Marathon on Friday, and I'm not on Facebook, but she posted the following on Facebook, and a friend sent it to me, and I thought it was so relevant, such a relevant introduction after the words of David HaMelech to our shiur, because I want you to pay attention to what she says, how can I smile? How could I be besimcha when inside, what? I might not feel besimcha. Is it a contradiction to feel pain and simcha at the same time? But on the other hand, David HaMelech says, Ivdu Es Hashem besimcha, which means all the time. So I'm going to quote her. I'm sitting in Ben Gurion Airport right now, waiting for my flight back from Israel for the third time since November 19th, exactly 4 months ago. Traveling is stressful. You're always worried, listen to what she says, something is going to go wrong. You're worried you might leave something behind. I know I'm leaving something behind. While I've traveled back 3 or 4 times, you should have taken one of my flights back to us and the rest of our family. Not now. Not in November, the way you came home. It should have been this coming June. A date that has not even passed yet. Not one bit of this feels okay. Even though I'm not technically leaving anything behind, I feel like I'm leaving you behind when I fly back. So why can I smile and why can I laugh? I added this, page 1 of my share was added this morning. See how Hashem arranges everything. Why can I smile? Why can I laugh? Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha, says Rav Hirsch. It's not when you bring the cow only. It's not only when you open the siddur. He says that's a misconception. It's a myth. It has to be all moments of your life. Why can I smile? Why can I laugh? Why can I still be me, yet missing you every moment of every day? I've been trying to figure this out, and I'll tell you what I think. I believe you would understand I said this is Esther Schwartz's sister, right? Hashem Yikom Damo. I believe you would understand your sister misses you terribly. And while happiness may be unachievable right now, of course this leads to the definition of what really does simcha mean, you'd seriously say to me, just try and have some fun. Because that was your thing. Try and have some fun. Nothing more, nothing less. Maybe try to have a lot of fun, you would say, but let's not push it for now. I want to tell you, Ezra, I did have fun while I was running that marathon in Jerusalem on Friday. I wish more than anything you would have been there with me, but hundreds of runners had you in mind during our race. As I ran, looking out onto the beautiful Jerusalem hills, what does David HaMelech say? Yerushalayim harim savivla v'Hashem savivla amo. I have chosen, I even quote the pasuk, Yerushalayim, mountains surround you, and Hashem surrounds us. I ran, I looked out onto the beautiful Jerusalem hills, I started to cry, and I asked myself the same question I do every day. Why me? For those who were with me yesterday's shiur, this is so unbelievable. There isn't an answer. But while I felt like the most unlucky person, I know I was the luckiest. Because you're mine, I wouldn't change it for a million years. I hope you know what an impact you have made, Ezra. What an inspiration you are to those of us who ran in memory of Ezra Schwartz, Jerusalem Marathon runners, and more. We love you. The Gemara says in Tanis 29a, Kishem shemi nichnas av mima'atin besimcha, kach mishen nichnas adar, marbim besimcha. Just like when Av enters, if you have to have two opposites on the calendar, with Av being the most somber, solemn, and saddest time in the Jewish calendar, the parallel opposite of that, of course, is Adar. And it is the most joyous, most simchatuk time. And that's not lost on Chazal, because the Gemara points out that oxymoron to us. K'shem sheminichnas av mima'atim b'simcha, kach mishenichnas adar marbim b'simcha. When Av enters, you decrease joy. And I pointed this out on Thursday, in Thursday class. Something's very important about this Gemara. The Gemara does not say, mishenichnas av atzuvin. The Gemara does not say, when Av enters, be sad. There's a difference between mourn and decrease simcha. They're not the same thing. Decrease simcha means you should still have a little bit of simcha. It means during all times in life, the Gemara says, even during the most saddest time, even as you sit on the floor and you see it, we say, Libi b'mizrach v'anochi b'sof ma'arav. Even as we sit on the floor and we cry and we, so to speak, tear kriya as we listen to Megillas Eicha, there still has to be some simcha. Or Chazal would have said, when Av enters, diminish. Extinguish. They don't say extinguish, they say diminish. However, when Adar enters, we shall increase. And that relates so much to what Ezra's sister wrote. Why can I smile and why can I laugh? Even though I'm missing you every moment of the day. And I'll tell you what I think, because Ezra would have told her, just try to have some fun. And we can paraphrase that and say, just try to have some simcha. Always at every moment, a Jew has to remember, Ivdu as Hashem b'simcha. This is an extraordinary year, meaning extra than ordinary on the Jewish calendar, 5776. And that's because we call it a leap year. We have an extra month. On the secular calendar during a leap year, how much extra time do they get?
One day.
On the Jewish calendar, when we have a leap year, how much extra days do we get? 30, 31, a whole month. And it's not just any month that we get extra, right? We could have gone extra, I don't know. First I was going to say Tishrei, but that might have been a problem with Yom Tovim. Anything, extra month, right? We dafka get the extra month that is the month of Simcha. And that leads to our title, Double Adar. Double Simcha through the gift of time. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us such a tremendous gift. And Rav Pam Zecher Tzadik Levracha says, quote, there's no loss like the loss of time. Time is life. No loss like the loss of time. Time is life. So Hashem says to us, what's the gift of this month? The theme of the month is Simcha. And we're starting to understand that Simcha is a midah I must acquire. Simcha is not something somebody gives you. Simcha is from here. And if you're about to bring up Aaron HaKohen, we're going to get to Aaron HaKohen. Simchas is something in here, not something you're given, something you find within yourself. So Hashem gives you in a leap year 2 months, and he says, reach deep into yourself. I'm giving you extra time. What are you going to make of the extra time? So I want to quote from a sefer called Portraits of Prayer by Rabbi Eliezer Abish. This is what's so beautiful. This is what David HaMelech wrote, exhorting us. Azamra la'elokai be'odi. I will sing to Hashem as long as I am alive. Azamra la'elokai, bolifana birnana, song, joy, rejoicing. Make certain to praise Hashem, writes Rabbi Avash, while you're still alive. Quote, we should not waste our lives looking for ways to kill time with worthless pursuits. Unfortunately, he writes, even though we are aware of what we are supposed to be doing with our precious lives, we are quite aware of the glaring fact that we're only in this world for a limited time, especially in the day and age that we live with the goings on around the world. I think nobody is disillusioned. We all know time is limited. Yet somehow, we have the ability to postpone what we're supposed to be doing. Postpone the Torah learning. Postpone the performance of the mitzvah. Something else is so pressing, it requires my time right now. The chesed will have to wait. The tefillah will have to wait. The tehillim will have to wait. The shir will have to wait. I have something so important to do right now. By the way, if you really do have something important to do, if there's a doctor's appointment, I understand. That's not what I'm referring to. We're talking about the fact that sometimes we do squander the time. Everybody knows for themselves that I don't utilize every moment. We promise ourselves we'll learn, we'll perform. I just can't do it right now. We like to act as if we have all the time in the world. We think we have an endless supply of time, we don't. And he gives a beautiful mashal. Rabbi Avash says, imagine there's a bank which credits your account each morning with $86,400. But the balance doesn't carry over from day to day. You can't keep the cash balance. And at the end of the day, whatever you have not withdrawn is canceled. What do? You're going to make sure to take out every penny of the $86,400. Why would you want to leave some in for the bank? Well, everyone has that bank. And he calls it a time bank. And keep in mind that I already quoted Rav Palm, who says there's no loss like the loss of time. Time is life. Remember that. I read it years ago. It's stuck in my head. You know, the other week we were away for Shabbos. And we were in Atlantic Beach. And we went, there's a Kiddush lunch in Atlantic Beach. So I didn't take my Tehillim or my Chumash with Rashi because I thought I'm going to get there. And I'm going to straight into lunch. I'm not going to have time to learn. So when we got there, of course, it was like 10 spare minutes. So I'm like already starting to panic and I'm not doing anything. So I said, okay, this is what Hashem wants me to be. I forgot. So I said to my son, I'm very upset. I don't have anything. So he's so 10 years old. He says, should I tell you what I learned in Chumash this week? I said, yes. He says, there are parshas. Yes, well, let's go over the Seres HaDibros. I said, perfect. I don't realize the value of 10 minutes. What do you mean? You're just sitting there doing nothing? You should feel nervous. You should feel, what if it's your last 10 minutes? And what are you going to say when you go up to the Olam Emes? What am I going to say? I have nothing to do. What do you mean you have nothing to? That's a true story. So Baruch Hashem, we went over the Seres HaDibros. Every morning you get 86,400 seconds. Every night, whatever part of this time you fail to invest for a good purpose is written off as lost forever. Doesn't carry over. There's no overdraft. Every day, there's a new account open just for you. If you fail to use that day's deposits, the loss is yours. No going back. No tomorrow for today's minutes. The clock is running. Make the most of today. I think it's one of the most powerful lessons in a double Adar. Not 1 month, 2 months of Simcha. And then he quotes, he paraphrases a poem that he has rewritten. To realize the value of 1 year, ask a student who failed a grade. To realize the value of a month, ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. To realize the value of 1 week, ask the editor of a weekly newspaper. To realize the value of a day, ask a Shabbos observer. To realize the value of an hour, ask the person who studies Daf Yomi. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask a person who just missed the train. To realize the value of a second, ask a person who avoided an accident. To realize the value of a millisecond, ask the person who won a silver medal in the Olympics. Our task is to appreciate the enhanced simchadik nature of this time period of year. Even if we don't always feel besimcha necessarily, it's the inyan to acquire such a midah. The Gemara relates, beautiful Gemara, Masachas Tainis 22a. Two came, quoting the Gemara, the translation is art scroll. Two came to the market. Eliyahu HaNavi came, and he said to Rav Baroka, Eliyahu HaNavi is in the market, and he meets Rav Baroka, and two people come to the market. And Eliyahu HaNavi goes over and he says, these two people are destined for the world to come. They're going to get Olam Haba. So Rav Baroka went up to these two people and he said to them, what do you do? So geshmak, I know Eliyahu HaNavi tells me now you're going to Olam Haba. There's no din. They said, quote, we are comedians. Comedians. We go to cheer up those who are depressed. Additionally, whenever we see two people involved in a quarrel, we strive to make peace between them. So, what do you do if you want to go straight to the Olam Haba? Straight to Olam HaEmes? When you bring simcha to somebody else, you cheer up someone who is depressed, you're assured a spot. Furthermore, the kolach of making shalom between quarreling parties. L'shem shamayim. Simcha. Of course, the very famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that you all know, I presume, if you don't, I'm going to tell it to you. If you do, I'm going to tell it to you. Avos, Pirkei Avos says, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Aleph, Ezehu Ashir, everybody knows, Hasamech Bechalko, who is a wealthy person, he who is satisfied with his law. Shenemar, and then the Mishnah quotes a pasuk from Tehillim. Yigia kapecha kisochal ashrecha v'tovlach. Ashrecha ba'olam haza v'tovlach la'olam haba. If you eat the toil of your hands, if you work at something and you acquire it, fortunate are you, good is you. Fortunate for you in this world, good for you in the next one. So if you can truly be sameach b'chalkei, being satisfied with my law, it is good for you not only in this world, not only for the menuchas ha-nefesh, not only for the acceptance, not only for the awareness that everything is from the Almighty, but it also stands in your merit in the next world. For me, the most powerful bracha of the Birkas HaShachar, and there are many powerful. Zokef Kufufim, we were just talking yesterday about my husband's surgery a few years ago and how not well he was and how hard was it for him to stand up. There's Ma'abish Arumim, it's very important. O Ter Yisrael B'Sifara, I wear the crown of Torah. And also Le'av Koach, that's second in place for me and my most favorite of the Berkas HaShachar. But for me, the most powerful and most meaningful of the Berkas HaShachar is, blessed are you Hashem, the king of the world, Sha'asali Kol Tzarki. He made for me everything I need. You know why it's most powerful? Because some days it's very, very hard to say. Sha'asali Kol Tzarki means everything that I have, even if it's not what I want, is exactly what I need. And if you could say the bracha with conviction, not only does it enhance our emunah, but it truly enhances Simchas HaChaim. My understanding, Simchas is not joy and laughter and levity. That's not Simcha. Simcha's in here. And if you could say Sha'asali Kol Tzarki, it could change your day. It doesn't mean it's easy, but it's important. Someone once came to Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was very, very sick the last 20 years of his life with severe Parkinson's disease. And a certain bachur in the yeshiva was going through a very hard time, a lot of struggles. And he came to Rav Nassim Tzvi, and he asked the Rosh Shiva for advice. He listed all his troubles and everything that he's going through and why it's so difficult for him. And he said to Rav Nassim Tzvi, has Rosh Yeshiva learned mitoch yisurim? And the Rosh Shiva looked at him and he said, quote, I don't learn mitoch yisurim, I learn mitoch simcha. He said to the Rosh Shiva, these are all my nisyonos. How do you get through your nisyonos? How do you learn through your yisurim, through your difficult times? And the Rosh Shiva says, what do you mean? I don't learn through difficulty, I learn through joy. That's ivdu as Hashem b'simcha. Which brings us to two biblical personalities. The first one is Sarah Imenu. Excuse me. Sarah Imenu, Bereishis Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Vav, 21:6. Vatomer Sarah, and Sarah said, and keep in mind, how old was she when she had her son? 90. Tzchok asali alokim, tzchok asali alokim, rejoicing Hashem made for me. Targum Unkelz translates this as chadva kol hasomeach, kol hashomea yitzachakli. Everyone who hears will laugh for me. But what does it mean, laugh for me? Haha. So Rashi says, yismach alai, from the shosh of simcha, will have simcha for me. And then he quotes the Medrash, and the Medrash says, many akaros were redeemed along with her. Many who could not have children were redeemed when Sarah Imenu had children. Many ill were cured on that day. It wasn't only Sarah Imenu who had a Yeshua, it was other people who had a Yeshua, it was other people who had a refuah. Quote, harbe tfilos ne'enu ima. Many tfilos were answered along with her tfilos. V'rav schok haya ba'olam. There was a lot of rejoicing, simcha in the world. Sorry, Imenu. Talk about big families, small families. Hashem gives everybody everything they need. Sari Imenu, the mother of the Uma Yisraelis, had one son. But look who he grew up to be. Yitzchak Avinu, the Akeda, who carried on the Mesorah of Avraham Avinu. Sari Imenu had hardly had what we would call an easy life. Right? The husband left for Canaan when he was how old? 75. She's 10 years younger than him, which means when she's 65 years old, they pick up and he says to her, pack your bags. We're going on a journey. What happened before that? I don't know. It's going to be great for you in the land. That's the second of the Nisyonos Lachacha. So they get to the land. Everyone's going to be blessed for you. With you, it's going to be tremendous. So they pack up and they take load and they take us a nefesh, asher asu b'charon, all the people that they converted and brought under the wings of the Shekhinah. And they get to Canaan. It was 90. You told me it's going to be great for me here. Now I'm starving. So then they have to go down to Mitzrayim. She's 65. He's 75. Then they get down to Mitzrayim. What happens to Sarah? But to a kacha isha base paro. Look at this beautiful woman. Sounds a lot like Esther Hamalka. And I'm going to bring you a mentor soon that actually brings parallel between Sarah and Esther. So they get down to a new land because there's no food in the land of Canaan. And what happens? She's taken to the house of Paro. How long was she there? We don't know exactly. Salvation says we think events in the Torah happen one after another because they're written one after another. There's actually time lapses between events in the Torah. They don't happen one after another. For some period of time, she's with Paro. Okay, what happens next? Her husband has to go to war. Lot's been captive. Avram Avinu, the God of Adar, the Baal Chesed, Parak Slides. Now, Vayerech Eschanichav, and he's running to go to war. She's taken again by who? Avimelech, a second time. Finally, she has to be Garesha Sa'amah Zosfa Espina, send away Hagar, which Hashem is masking with, but Aram's not so happy. And finally, Akedas Yitzchak. Sarah Imenu was not on the surface, you know, if you would look at the resume, Kaviyachal, not the person who had the what? The easiest life. We tend to forget that about the first matriarch. And yet, when she had her son, she was able to acknowledge, even though she was 90, and she waited a very long time. And we can be sure the scoffers of the generations mocked her. Now we can be sure they did. Because what does Rashi say? She must have got that baby in the marketplace. It can't possibly be hers. She's nursing a child. She's 90 years old. They never what? Had a child together until all this time. Now we're supposed to believe it's her baby. Did she have an easy life? A simcha is not if you have an easy life. Simcha is saying, Sha'asali, called Sarki, Ivdu as Hashem b'simcha every moment. And she was able to name her son Yitzchak li. And Rashi says, Yismach alai. They will understand my rejoicing. And therefore they too will what? Share in my simcha. And Targum Onkelos translates it as the shosh of chadva. And we know chadva is another name for what? For being b'simcha. Refrand writes, how does one rule over all that, over all those turbulent events, and yet manage to dominate events? She was a woman who was in control. She was our first matriarch. We should look to her for inspiration. We also feel at times, you know, it's going to be good, now there's a famine, take into the house, now I have to send this one away. Refrand said, how does one manage to rule over all that, and yet still dominate events of their life? Quote, says Refrand, only by maintaining one's serenity and equilibrium throughout it all. Serenity. Perhaps one of the definitions of simcha is serenity, not joy. That is the life of Sarah Imenu. For a woman, I'm quoting her friend, to remain barren for 90 years and experience so many trials and tribulations is not a simple matter. And yet, we see the same Eishes Chayil throughout. Do you know the Medrash says something very beautiful? Do you know the Medrash says that the Hesped that Avraham Avinu gave for Sarah was the Eishes Chayil? If we go through each pasuk, it can be understood to be a reference to her. We see the same Eishes Chayil, the same Balas Chesed, the same matriarch, I'm going to add the same Ezer Kenegdo throughout. This is a person, says her friend, who was able to rule over her entire world. It is someone who, despite it all, says her friend, maintained serenity and equilibrium throughout. This too can be used to explain the words of the Medrash. Told you I'm going to bring you the Medrash that equates who? Sarah with? Esther. The Medrash attaches symbolism to the 127 years that Sarah lived. Oh, 127. Why should that start to ring a bell? Because we're coming up to Purim in 2 nights. Medina, 127 countries with his queen, 127 years. Not an accident. The Medrash says, quote, let Esther, the granddaughter of Sarah, who lived 127 years, come and rule over 127 provinces. So nothing in Tanakh is an accident. But 127 is here, and 127 is there. It means there's what? A kesher between the two sets of 127. The commentators are all perplexed by the apparently random equation of the number of 127. What does her 127 years have to do with what? Her 127 countries. Explanation is, writes her friend, Esther also had a life of trial and tribulation. Both Sarah and her granddaughter Esther did not have what we call what? An easy life. We tend to focus on Esther as the heroine of the story and the courage within. Tsumu, a lie, how brave she is. Well, could we imagine her panic and her terror and her fear? She was a true Bas Yisrael, living with Mordechai. According to some opinions in the Gemara, she was what? Married to him. Al Tikri Levas El Levayas. Don't read it that she was his daughter, but read it she was his house. House being a metaphor for what? Wife. And she is taken against her will to the palace of the king. And horror of horrors. Vayav HaMelech as Esther Mikol HaNashim. Of all the women in 127 provinces who are spending a year in makeup and perfumes, the one he has to love is who? The one of Chayin, who exudes Chayin v'chesed? Esther Hamalka. But Fran said the explanation is Esther had a life of trial and tribulations. She had a life that could have been influenced, by the events that happened to her. She is an orphan. She's taken to the palace of the king. She may have forsaken her people in exchange for success and fame. And not only that, but exchange, I'm going to add in, for comfort that she surely must have felt once she became used to palace life. She remained, however, rock solid in her faith. She did not let her life events shape her. She maintained herself. And remember, we already said serenity and equilibrium throughout it all, both by Sarah Imenu in her 127 years, and by who? Esther Malka, 127 provinces. I just thought of something interesting. Perhaps that's another interpretation. You know, Rashi says in Chayei Sarah, I don't have a chumash right here, but Rashi says in Chayei Sarah, that does it say by Sarah when she died, she was 100 years and 20 years and 7 years? That instead, just tell me she was what? 127 years old. So Rashi says she was as beautiful at all ages. I don't remember the exact question of Rashi. She was as beautiful at 100 as she was at 20, and she was as free of sin at 20 as she was at 7. I believe that's what Rashi says.
Yes.
So Rashi says, thank you. But maybe we could add another interpretation there. Maybe we could say, this is very nice. A child of 7, in general, has a sense of innocence and a sense of simchas hachaim, in general. Yes, unfortunately, there are exceptions. Has a sense of innocence and takes joy in the small things in life. You know, my son will call me to the window, Mommy, look at the squirrel on the porch eating the bread he put out. It's so excited. Look at the bird in the tree. Oh, so nice. So maybe we could say, adding in, enhancing our shir, the way she felt at 7 in terms of her simchas hachaim and her menuchas hanefesh and her appreciation for the small things, because even the small things are big things, was how she felt when? At 20. And maybe when she was 100, meaning from 20 to 100, despite those being the most turbulent years of her life, she maintained the same equilibrium and inner simcha that she had when she was a young girl. Very nice. Yeah, it's nice, right? You could comment. I'm going to add it into my notes. Okay. Sorry. You want someone to? No? Sorry, Imenu was at Besimcha, because we have to go back to the Gemara in Tainis 29a. Sometimes we have to diminish Simcha, but we must never extinguish our simcha. Esther Amalka, says the Medrash, when they bring a comparison between the two, was the embodiment of her grandmother. Because I wrote she had a measure of serenity, peace, courage, acceptance. And I think that's the Jewish definition of simcha. I'm going to repeat that sentence. They both, we've explored very, very briefly, albeit very, very briefly, the life of Sari Meinu and her nisyonos, and al rega achas, the life of Esther Hamalka. But despite it all, they both maintained serenity, peace, courage, and acceptance. And I think that is, I humbly propose that that is a true definition of simcha. And now when Mishnah says, Ezu asher hasameach b'chalko, if I can have serenity, peace, courage, equilibrium, and acceptance, if I could say, Shasali kol tzarki, even on the days it's hard for me, because Rav Shem Shem Falher says unto him, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha applies to every moment of your life. That's a Bas Yisrael. This is beautiful. You know, something's bizarre. When I prepare my shiur, I always think, do I have enough? I'm on page 3 of 9. It's 10:34. Okay, let's go. Who else in the Torah is associated with true simcha? I think I brought him up before. In the Torah, I didn't mean in Tanakh, but it specifically uses the word simcha. Maybe by David and Melch, also I'm not thinking about it. Aaron. Because Moshe, we have a whole incident by the snare, trap Perek Gimel and Shemos in the beginning of Perek Dal. Moshe doesn't want to go. He gives all kinds of reasons why he doesn't want to go, etc., etc., etc. Shem says, you're going. Shem says, well, you're worried about Shlach Nabiyad Tishlach. You're telling me I should send Aaron. Don't worry about Aaron's kavod, even though he's 3 years older than you. Shemos Perek Dalet Pasuk Yud Dalet 4:14. V'gam Hinehu Yotze the Krasacha. When you go back to the Egyptian metropolis, Aaron's going to come out to meet you. V'ra'acha, he will see you. V'samach. Not just for Samach, Billy Bo. He will be happy in his heart. True Simcha. Interestingly, Aaron and Sarah both have Midas HaSimcha. She expressed through the naming of her child, he expressed through the joy he would feel for who? His brother. And what was their reward for Simcha? And this is tremendous because they both were rewarded with the same thing. Chazal tell us, Ein HaShchina Shruya Ela Mitoch Simcha. The Shchina only rests where there is Simcha. They were both Zochet HaSharas HaShchina. In fact, she was the first one Zochet HaSharas HaShchina. Hundreds and hundreds of years, I'm going to explain, hundreds and hundreds of years before the Mishkan and HaSharas HaShchina Vasuli Mitash V'Shachanti B'Sochem, Sara Imenu was Zochet first, because Ein HaShchina Shura Al Mitoch Simcha, who is the first embodiment of true Simcha, and we see that expressed in the Torah, Sara Imenu. Because what were her three brachos that only come back to the tent after Yitzchak marries Rivka? One of the last Rashi's in Parachof David, in Bereishis, Chayei Sara. She was zocha to three things. Bracha be'isa, the bread was fresh from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. I want you all to listen, because she was the first Mishkan. What was the bracha on the lachem hapanim? When did the Kohanim change it? Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. There were, in the bars on the shulchan, there were racks. On the racks, there were tubes to ensure the bread stayed fresh. Who was the first one? The first Mishkan had the Ohel Moed. It's in the first Pasuk of Vayikra. Who's the first one who had the Ohel Moed? Ayei Sari Ishtecha. Hine? The Ohel. Who's the first Mishkan? Mishkan just means just the resting place for the Shechina. Who's the first one who had the Lachem Apanim that stayed fresh from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos? Sari Menu. Who was the first one who had the Ner Daluk before they lit the menorah every single day? Who was the first one who had the candle burning in her home? Sari Menu. And who was the first one to have the Anan of Hashem resting on her ohel? Before you close the book of Shemos, and it tells you the last pasuk says, the second last pasuk, that the Anan rested on the Mishkan. Who is the first one to have the Anan rest on her Mishkan? Sara Imenu. Her home is a microcosm or a prototype or a foreshadowing of what it means to build a Shechina for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The reward for Simcha is you bring the Shechina down into your home, into yourself, into your life. Hasharas HaShchina. How does it manifest? In the cloud that covered what? Her Mishkan. Which brings us to Aaron. In the desert, there were three miracles that accompanied the people for 40 years. The man was in the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Be'er Miriam was in the merit of Miriam. And the Ananei HaKavod We're in the merit of Aharon HaKohen. That means by accident. What did Sarah merit? And she was a Bala Simcha despite her life? Hasharas HaShechina. Hasharas HaShechina means the resting of the divine presence. How was that manifest? Anan Kasher Al HaOhel, says Rashi. She had the cloud of the Shechina tied over her tent. And when Klal Yisrael journeyed in the desert for 40 years, the Ananei HaKavod, says Rashi, laundered their clothing, freshened their clothing. Can you imagine never doing laundry? It saved them from snakes and scorpions. It leveled the mountains and the valleys, so they didn't have to climb up. Let's say you're out of shape, and then you have to climb down. Such a tircha, except for three mountains, Har Sinai, Har Nevo, and Har Hahar. The land was flat. These are tremendous Ananei HaKavod that represented Hasharas HaShechina. It was divine protection, right? We just said, Hashem Saviv La'amo. In the time of the Midbar, what represents Hashem Saviv La'amo? The Ananei HaKavod. In whose merit were those beautiful clouds of glory? The merit of Aaron HaKohen. The reward for Simcha is the ability to what? Bring Hasharas HaShechina down to Kaviyachal. Not that we do anything to the Hasharas HaShechina, but the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world is that Ein HaShechina Shira El Mitoch Simcha. You want to bring them down? Emulate who? Sara Imenu. You want to bring them down? Emulate who? Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, the man of Simcha. And what emerges is that if we can bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu down through Midas Simcha, we benefit not only ourselves, but others around us. She benefited her husband, Avram Avinu. In fact, Rashi tells us, Kol Shor Tamar Lachasar Shema Bakola, Rashi says, she was greater in Nevuah than Avram Avinu. I don't exactly understand what that means, because he was Avram Avinu, but I'm quoting Rashi, okay? She was greater in Nevuah. She benefited Avram Avinu, she benefited Yitzchak, and her zchus benefited who? Rivka, her daughter-in-law, to ensure the carrying on. Aaron's zchus of Simcha, on a much greater level, benefited not only himself, but the Ananei HaKavod, the Hasharas HaShechina, benefited all of the people along with him. Such is the koach of Simcha. Rav Eliezer Abish tells over the following story. A young widow was struggling to raise her three young children on her own. She knocked on the door of Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Very, very moving book from Jerusalem, his word. If you have not read it by Chanoch Teller, I highly recommend it, about the life of Shlomo Zalman Arbach. It's just unbelievable. And there's a specific chapter in there, the widow's heart. He would bring joy to the widow's heart. So she went to Rav Shlomo Zalman and she unburdened herself, the loneliness and the difficulties she faced every day, the untimely death of her young husband. She expressed tremendous desire. She wants to do something and is an aliyah neshama for her husband. She wants to be connected to him. She managed to scrape together a small sum of money. She wants to use it to dedicate something for the neshama of her husband. What is the best way, she asked the Gaon, to utilize the money for the greatest possible schus for her husband's neshama? Some friends said, donate farm to the shul. Other friends said, set up a gemach fund, a free loan fund for something in need. She doesn't know what to do, so she's coming to ask an eitzah from Rav Shlomo Zalman. Perhaps I accept stringency, she said, upon myself in halacha, more than using the money for svar. Shlomo Zalman was quiet for a moment. He closed his eyes and he replied, and I'm going to quote, you want to do something as a merit, as a meaningful merit for your husband's neshama? I have the perfect suggestion for you. If you follow my suggestion, it will be a great source of comfort to his soul. Take your children to a toy store and use the money that you set aside for your husband's neshama to buy them some toys. Then go home and play with your children. Make sure you take them to the park as often as you can. Play with them there. Spend time with them. Create a strong and loving relationship. This will make your children, quote, happy and wholesome. Trust me, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, raising happy children. And the topic today is Simchas HaChaim will serve as the greatest merit for your dear husband's neshama. The simcha of a true simcha salev is not only simcha for myself, we are understanding, but Sarah in her Yeshua brought simcha to others. Akaros were answered along with her. Harbi tfilos, many tfilos of cholam were answered along with her. Aaron simcha for Moshe made the whole nation worthy to clouds of glory for 40 years. Simcha for somebody else, for myself, affects what? others as well. Ad kedechach, the Rav Shlomo Zalman said, take your money and go buy toys. Because if it makes them happy, it's the greatest aliyah neshama for your husband. The shul has for him. Your children need to acquire, to work on, to understand what? Simchas Halev. And that's why we said, like all midos, please, when we learn together, it sounds so exalted and so beautiful, and sometimes it sounds so easy. I know it's not easy. I know it's very, very hard. And yet we have to, I wrote, find meaning in life and be appreciative and thankful for all that Hashem bestows upon me. And that's Simchas HaChaim. When we saw Salander said, it's because you understand, when I was davening this morning, it really struck me. We say, Rofei Cholim, So Mechnof, So Kif Kafufi. We don't, in our Shemona Esrei, thank Hashem for bestowing Simcha. Why not? Because Simcha is what? Something I have to do, not something Hashem gives me. It's a midah. And Rav Yisrael Salanter would say, it's easier to learn through Shas than it is to change one midah. He once met a person who was all glum and depressed looking and upset. So Rav Yisrael Salanter said to him, Rav Yid, what's wrong? So Rav Yid said, it's Elul, I'm doing teshuvah. I'm very serious. Rav Yisrael Salanter said, because you're doing teshuvah, do I have to suffer? We have to exude simcha, even when I don't feel it where? Maybe not in here. Make yourself happy. And therefore, mishanichnas adar, marbin b'simcha. When adar enters, it's a holy, holy, holy time. You have to work on acquiring the simcha. I'm skipping a little. Rav Pesach Kron writes, I saw a great expression yesterday, quote, Rav Pesach Kron writes, and I quote, I saw a great expression yesterday. The happiest people don't necessarily have the best of everything. They just make the best of everything they have. I'm going to re-quote it. Rav Pesach Kron says, the happiest people don't necessarily have the best of everything. They just make the best of everything they have. Isn't that a great expression? He says, that's our role. We don't have everything. I'm going to amend that a little, actually. I'm going to amend what he just said with all due respect, because I respectfully don't think that's true. I think we don't have everything we want, but we do have everything we need. And therefore, I don't think it's accurate to say we don't have everything. Because Shasali Kaltzarki is the antithesis of that. Shasali Kaltzarki is, I do have everything I need, even if it's not what I think I want. Nevertheless, but I'm still, please, I don't mean to diminish anything. I'm just on that nakuda. I'm amending a little. Nevertheless, we have to make the best of it. How do we make the best of it? I once heard a beautiful vart from Rav Pam Zatzal, who I've already quoted in regard to time. Quote, says Rav Pam, people are always looking for the city of happiness, but they don't realize it's in the state of mind. People are always looking for a city of happiness. They don't realize you could journey to the ends of the earth looking for the city of Simcha. It's right here. That's what we need to focus on, says Rav Kron. Will we allow ourselves to become broken and sad? We all go through difficult periods. We need to make the best of what we have. Not to feel we need to have everything. Now, I want to point out something beautiful. Wait, I brought the Megillah. I want to point out something beautiful. See? Yad Hashem. Coming up to Esther, of course. This isn't per se a shir on Esther, on Megillus Esther, even though already we have spoken about Esther and Malka. We're more focusing on the theme of Adar, which is, what? Simcha. I hope that's become very clear. But I do want to quote from Megillus Esther now, because when I was preparing, I really saw the Siyata Deshmaya here. I'm quoting from Perek Hey, Pasuk Test, chapter 5 in Megillus Esther, verse 9. Haman's very happy. Who likes him? Not only the king, but also the beautiful queen. Wow, who's invited to the parties? Not only Achashverosh, but me too. Of course, he doesn't know it's a setup. Vayetze Haman bayam hahu. Haman went out that day. Sameach v'tovlev. When I was preparing, I couldn't believe it. What is the word used to describe Haman Harasha? Mamish simcha. But we're going to see how quickly his simcha dissipates. Because when it's not an internal simcha, it's worthless. And I mean that. When it's not an internal simcha, it's worthless. I'm not saying that lightly, because sometimes I say it's almost worthless. It's mamish worthless. Vayetze Haman bayamahu sameach v'tov lev. Haman went out b'simcha and good in heart. But when he saw Mordechai in the gates of the king, Mordechai didn't get up, and Mordechai didn't move, and Mordechai didn't bow down. Vayimalei Haman al Mordechai chema. Haman can't look past one Jew. Vayisapek Haman vayaval beso. Haman restrained himself and he went home. And he brought his people he loves and his family. He gathers Zeresh, his wife, and he tells them, as kavod oshro, eternal simcha, look how bekavodik I am. Look how rich I'm going to be. Virov banav, I have 10 sons. This guy looks great, right? As Kolasher Gidlo HaMelech, I have such a position of prominence in the kingdom, and I have been made higher over all of the officers. Ayomer Haman. And Haman said, and Esther didn't invite anyone to the mishta that she made, only me and the king. And even tomorrow, I'm going to another mishta. So on the surface, it seems like true simcha, right? Why? Because even the Megillah uses the word Samech V'tov Liv. What's the next pasuk? Perek Yud Gimel. What does Haman say? V'chol zeh einenu shoveli. Nothing matters. All of this, what is all of this? The grandeur, the glory, the kavod, uses the word kavod. Ashra, my riches, my 10 sons, the fact that Esther likes me, means nothing to me. It's worthless to me. B'chol eis asher ani roas Mordechai Yehudi yoshev b'shar hamach. When I see Mordechai Yehudi, who won't get up and won't move and won't bow down and won't give me the honor that I feel I deserve, what happens to his simcha? It disappears into the mists of history. There is no simcha because others honor me. There's no simcha bestowed on me by other people. Sameach v'tov lev, when it comes to Haman Harasha, is not sameach v'tov. It's external simcha. And if it's not an internal midah that it is acquired, it is dissipating, fleeting, momentarily passing through time. The emotions of a rasha, I wrote, are external, transient, dependent on others. My sister, isn't that beautiful? It's unbelievable. When I was preparing and I saw the word Sameach, and then V'chol Zayin Shoveli, that's exactly what we're talking about. And it's one of the hidden lessons in Megillah Esther. Why do we dress up on Purim? Besides the fact that it's fun, maybe, if it's fun for you. Why? Because there's so many layers to the Megillah. And what you see is not always what you get. My sister now shared the following parable with me, and I am quoting. Quote, please listen. Amunah. One evening, it's called Amunah Teperbach. The prayers of a poor family were answered. There's a knock at the door, and tens of people, and people is written in quotes, stood outside. Who are you? Asked the father to the people. The head of the delegation, Simcha / happiness, spoke. I am Simcha. That's Amunah. That's joy. That's health. Standing there is success. The tough guy over there is power. We are what you requested in your prayers, he said to the stunned father, and the family members. But you're only allowed to choose one. The family members were perplexed as to what would be the best choice. Do they want success or do they want health? Do they want happiness? Do they want power? Do they want parnasa? Do they want menuchas hanefesh? Eventually, the father went over and said, we decide to choose emuna, faith. As Amunah started to enter the house, she was followed by all the other wishes. What happened? Said the father. I don't understand. You said we can only choose one. That's right, said happiness, Simcha. But wherever Amunah goes, we all follow. I need a tissue. I'm very sorry. 1 minute. Please forgive me. Sorry. Miriam Peretz is the mother, it's not what I quoted yesterday, don't be nervous. Miriam Peretz is the mother of Lieutenant Uriel Peretz, 1976 to 1998, who fell in battle in Lebanon, and the mother of Major Eli Raz Peretz, 1976 to 2010, who fell in battle in the Gaza Strip. Eli Raz was married and the father of 4 children, aged 6 years to 1 month when he fell in battle. His son, Or Chadash, as in Or Chadash, Al Tzion Ta'ir, Venizke Kulanu Bimhera La'oro, was named for the fallen uncle. She said her father knew how to say one word in Hebrew, Yerushalayim. When they moved to Be'er Sheva from Morocco and people said to him, where do you live? He would say, Yerushalayim. She says he would never have imagined he would have 2 grandsons buried on Har Herzl. She said Har Herzl is her home. There's 2 meters that separates between the grave of Uriel and the grave of Eliraz. And every time she goes, she has to make a choice. Whose cave shall I go visit first? I heard her standing right here speaking 2 years ago, and I took notes. Who should I go visit first? She said, Eliraz or Uriel? When she's with Eliraz, she feels Uriel Ima calling. How could you leave me? When she's with Uriel, she hears Eliraz saying, Ima, how could you leave me? Quote, she says, every single time she goes from one grave to the next, it's as if she has to cross her own personal Yam Suf. And yet, she wrote a book entitled Shirat Miriam. Ivdu Es Hashem, Besimcha, joy, Bolafanev, Birnana, song, Azamra, these are all psukim we've already spoken about. Azamra la Elokai Bodhi, Simcha, Rina, Zimra. Why is it called Shirat Miriam? Because after the Jews crossed Yam Suf, said Miriam Peretz, Miriam led the woman in song. She said, I too sing. A person sings, said Miriam Peretz, when there's a miracle. We already spoke about Birkas HaShachar. She said, every morning when I wake up, I can see Baruch Pokeach Ivrim. I am alive. Moda ani lefanecha shechazarta b'nishmati b'chamla. I can hear. Kosh Baruch Hu's Mesilach Ilmim. She says, this is all a miracle. I heard her say, quote, I give thanks to God every day. Moda ani. We say, I am thankful. Moda ani means, thankful am I. The first word out of my mouth in the morning is supposed to be, Toda. Moda. Thankful. Every day she says, I thank Hashem because my life, she says, is a miracle. I love God. Quote, I love him so much. I'm quoting her. I'm going to not interrupt her. Miriam Peretz said at the end of her presentation, quote, I love God. I love him so much. It's easy to love him when things are easy, when you're rich, healthy. It's hard to love him when things are not so easy. She says if there's one word she would be able to hear again from her sons that she wants to hear, it's Ima. She says to be called Ima by her children is the greatest thing. When Uriel came home from the army, she would pick thorns that were stuck to him out of his uniform. And what foresight, she did not throw out those thorns. She saved them in a glass jar. And she says, one day when she goes up, and she finally meets the Almighty King, Malach Malachim, Malachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribono Sha'olam, she will give Hashem a single thorn from her son Uriel. And she will say to Hashem, quoting Uriel, with the total amount of thorns and plants that entered my body, it is possible to build a flower bed a meter by meter long. But these are not ordinary thorns. These are thorns of Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim harim saviv la, v'Hashem saviv la'ama. She spoke about Tanakh. She said the portion of Tanakh that speaks to her the most that she says is always with her, is an excerpt from Sefer Shmuel, which I'm going to share with you, Sefer Shmuel 2, chapter 12, beginning at verse 16. David HaMelech had a son who was not well. Vayivakesh David Esa Elokim. David sought out God. He cried, V'fareinu Hashem v'nerefa, v'rapo yirape. Bad Hanar, he davened on behalf of who? The ill child. Vayatzem David Tzom. David fasted. Leichnos es kol ha'yudim anim tzayim b'shushan v'tumu alai. Uva v'lan v'shachav arza. He comes, he sleeps, he lays down on the ground next to his child. V'yakumu ziknei beso alav lahakimo. And the elders of David HaMelech's house try to be mechazak him. They want to get him up. Min ha'aretz v'lo ava. He wouldn't get up. And he wouldn't eat with them bread. And it was on the seventh day. V'yamas ha'yalad. The child died. The servants are afraid to tell David HaMelech that what? This child died, ki amru, because they said, when the child was alive, we spoke to him. He wasn't able to listen to us. Now we're going to tell him the child has died. What's going to happen? He's going to do something bad. We can't tell him the news. But David HaMelech saw that his servants are whispering together. Vayiven David, bina. David had intuition. He understood ki meis hayalad. He understood the child died. Vayomer David al avadav. So David said, ha meis hayalad. Did the child die? Vayomu meis. And they said, yes, he died. The next pasuk is pasuk chaf. Sefer Shmua Beis, chapter 12, Parakid Beis, pasuk chaf, verse 20. Vayakam David me haaretz. David hears that the child has died, and he gets up. Vayirchatz, he washes. Vayasech, he anoints. Vayachlev simosav, he changes his clothing. He comes to the house of Hashem, and he prostrates himself. And he comes to the house, and they put down bread for him, and he eats. And the servants say to him, "What is going on? What are you doing? When the child was alive, you fasted. You cried. When the child dies, you get up, you're able to eat." And David said, "When the child was alive, I fasted and I cried. Ki amarti, I said, I don't know Hashem's ways. Mi odea v'chanani Hashem v'chaya yalad. Maybe Hashem will accept my tzom. Maybe He will accept my tefillah. Maybe He will accept my mourning on the floor. And Hashem will help me. V'chaneni, He will be kind to me. And the child will live. Va'ata, pasuch av gimel. But now, meis, the child has died." Simcha is also being able to move forward with life. Lama ze anitzom. For what purpose would it be for me? Azama lalokai beodi. I must be alive to sing to Hashem. What purpose would it be for me to fast? Ha'ucho lahashivo ar. Can I bring my child back? Ani holeich elav. I will go to him. V'hu lo yashuv elai. He's not coming back to me. Miriam Peretz said after the death of her son, King David got up. He says, "I can't bring my child back. I have to go on. I will go to him." She said, "I go to my sons too, Uriel and Eliraz. I go to them on Har Herzl. But after their death, I had to get up. And I continue to rise up every day after their death." Yishem, sheminichnas av mima'atin besimcha. Kach mishenichnas adark. I want to end with a thought I heard from my esteemed friend and colleague, Mrs. Zahava Farbman. Call him Omer Davar B'Shem Omro. Mevi Geula Olam. It's Perek Vav of Pirkei Avos. But who do we learn it from? What does the Mishnah then quote? Vatomer Esther Lamelech B'Shem Mordechai. The Mishnah learns it out from Esther Maka. She told the king Achashverosh B'Shem Mordechai, Mevi Geula Olam. Zahava Farbman heard it from the name of Rabbani Yamim Mizrahi, who quotes the Tiferet Shlomo. Okay? That's how I heard it. Simcha is a key, even if it's a facade. Because mitoch shelo lishma, ba lishma. And if I exude simcha to others, remember, it helps others be besimcha. We spoke about Sari Menu, the simcha she brought to her home. We spoke about Aaron Cohen, the simcha he brought to the whole nation. Now I'm going to speak about Esther Hamalka. Tiferet Shlomo says, when Mordechai hears of the decree against the Jews of the kingdom, I have 2 minutes. What does he do? He hears the bad decree of death. Mordechai yadas kolasher na'asa vayikra Mordechai es begadav vayilbash sak ve'efer vayetze besochair vayizak za'aka gadol marak. When he hears of the decree, he starts mourning. He goes a proclamation through the streets. He tears kriya. He puts on sackcloth. He sprinkles ashes and he goes yelling in the streets, "Yeshua, refuah, save us, salvation." And he's crying. He's clearly in mourning and in sadness. Esther Hamalka takes an entirely different approach. Even though internally she is afraid, simcha is a measure of what? Simcha sachayim and belief and equilibrium throughout it all. Vayihi b'yom ha'shlishi vatilbash Esther. Malchus, she donned royalty, says the Tiferet Shlomo, on her way to the king. Even though in the privacy of her heart and the recesses of her mind, she fasts and she cries, she understands that it is incumbent upon the Bas Yisrael to always work to acquire midas simcha. Because ein hashchina shura ala mitoch simcha. A daughter of Sarah, I'm finishing, Esther was besimcha, despite her life circumstances. As a reward, the Shechina rested upon her, heard her cries, listened to her pleas, and fulfilled her requests. Adar 1, Adar 2. When Adar enters, increase in joy. Purim is upon us, the awesome and holy day, the awesome and holy month. This year it's 2 months when we tap into the simcha within our hearts. We bring it into our lives, we bring it to fruition, and we act upon it. V'hayamim ha'ela niskarim v'nasim b'chol dar v'dar, mishpacha u'mishpacha, medina u'medina, ve'ir ve'ir. Simcha is not a city far away. It's a state right here within you. V'yimei ha'purim ha'ela lo ya'avru mitoch ha'yehudim v'zichram lo yasuf mizaram. I wish you all a very freilichen simchadik adar and a wonderful freilichen purim. Thank you, everybody.